Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What is humility? I remember when I was first learning about humility, it took me a while to realize that there actually is a difference between humility and humiliation. Humiliation is what you feel when you explain everything you know about nuclear energy from high school physics to someone only to learn that they're actually a nuclear physicist. Oops. Humility is what you have when you acknowledge that someone else is greater or wiser than you are. And of course, that distinction between humility and humiliation isn't exactly helped when we talk in the Catechism about Jesus' state of humiliation, in which he humbled himself by taking on human flesh, setting aside his godly power and authority in order to become a servant to us, which is actually the focus of the section that's left out of our reading in verses 5 through 11 of Philippians chapter 2. But this concept of humility, and especially the humility of Christ, offers us a lens through which to view our epistle reading for today from Philippians chapter 2. In particular, as we consider our place both in God's kingdom and in the world, living as blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world, as Paul puts it in verse 15. The first question that comes to mind, or the first question that comes out of this, is what does it mean for us to be children of God? That's something that we talk about very regularly, but it's still something that bears repeating. Perhaps you need a refresher. You might be new or visiting and not have heard this before. Or you might not have been paying attention to it the last 6 times that I brought this up in a sermon. Whatever it is, please wake up. It's okay. But what does it mean to be a child of God? Now we can start by looking at Jesus' description of what faith is like in Matthew 18, which was one of our readings a few weeks ago. The disciples were arguing about which of them was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, which was a common pastime of theirs during their long walks along the dusty roads of Judea. The disciples are arguing about who is the greatest, and so in response, Jesus takes a child and places the child in the midst of the disciples, and then tells them, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. You must enter like a child. In other words, childlike faith is necessary, faith which trusts in God's promises, faith which humbly accepts that God is so much greater than us, knows so much more than us, humbly receives God's word, delights to listen to God's voice. That is the faith that is necessary for us to enter the kingdom of God. So then, next we turn to this question, okay, if childlike faith is necessary, where does this childlike faith come from? How do we become children of God? Jesus describes this in John chapter 3 when he talks about being born again or born from above. Water and Spirit come and cause us to be born into him, as he says in John 3 verse 5. When does this happen? It happens in baptism. The water is poured on in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descends and comes into and comes into us and rests upon us and makes us children of God. So then we come back to our reading and we see Paul's description of children of God in verses 1 through 4 of our reading. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That is what it means to live as children of God in this life, to encourage one another in Christ, to comfort one another with Christ's love, participate in the Holy Spirit, show affection and sympathy towards one another as fellow believers, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, counting others more significant than ourselves, looking to the interests of others instead of our own. This way that we live, the way that we show our love to one another as God's children, that is what characterizes God's children. Forgiving one another when we sin against one another, working together and encouraging one another as one body in Christ as we strive toward the goal of God's mission. A good example of this comes in verses 5 through 11, the Song of Christ, which is left out of our reading, but I'll read now. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we live as God's children, we follow the example of God's Son in his humility and in worship of him as our Lord and God, who has redeemed us and saved us from this crooked and twisted generation. Because as we live as children of God, we cannot lose sight of where we are. Remember, Paul's encouragement is for us to be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. We live in a world that is fallen and broken, surrounded by fallen and broken people. God did indeed create this world to be good, but our first parents messed it up through sin, desiring to be like God, showing hubris and pride rather than humility in their approach to God and his word. And now all of us are born into sin. There is no exception to that rule. All of us are born sinful, as we confessed in our confession of sins at the beginning of the service. And all of us commit sins of our own. How can we help it being corrupted ourselves by that original sin? There is no way around it. Being children of God, redeemed from sin by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, we resist the sinfulness around us, but it is so hard for us to resist so much of it around us. That's the danger of living in this world, surrounded by sin and evil, that we will become corrupted and twisted as well. Because society around us rejects God's word, considers its own feelings and beliefs to be more important than God's truth. The easy lie so often wins out over the hard truth, especially in public dialogue. Our own sinful nature twists and or desires what feels good in the moment, even when it goes against God's revealed will. Sin is wrong, yes, but doesn't it feel so good? Skipping out on God's word and his worship is wrong, but it's nice, and it's so easy to do. It's not enough for the world to reject God. It also has to drag us down with it into rejecting God and ignoring his commands, missing out on and taking our eyes off of his promises. Those who live in and are absorbed into this world embrace everything that the sinful life offers. That is what it means to be part of this crooked and twisted generation. But that's what we may look like too, living as we do in this world. We also sin. We also can become so in love with this world that we lose sight of the things of God. The difference between those who embrace the sinful world and sinful life and those who are children of God might not be one of outward appearance, but of faith. We do fall short. We do make mistakes. Despite being children of God, we aren't immune to the failings of our sinful human nature. But when we do, our response is to return to God in repentance, seeking his forgiveness and trusting in his redemption that he forgives and restores. After all, it is only through God's forgiveness that we can shine as light in the world, as Paul describes us in verse 15, where he says, you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to this word of life. Paul's intent is for us to live as God's children, showing God's light to all people all around us. Jesus says the same thing to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, where he says, "You are the light of the world." We are the lights. According to John chapter 1, Jesus is the light. And so then my question becomes, where does this light come from? The true light is Jesus. He is the light of the world who shines into the darkness, whom the darkness has not and cannot overcome. Jesus is the light. He is the sun. He creates the light that reveals all things to us. We, however, are like the moon. We can only reflect Jesus' light for others to see. That's where Paul's description in verses 1 through 4 comes in. The encouragement in Christ, the comfort from love, participation in the Holy Spirit, all of this, in these ways, we show God's light by being of the same mind, living together in humility and in full accord. When we live as God's children, we live in a way that is pleasing to God, gives him glory, allows that light to reflect off of us for those around us to see it, those who live in the darkness of this crooked and twisted generation. Perhaps a better example, a lighthouse. If you've seen the lamp or lantern at a lighthouse, when I was growing up, the first time I remember coming to Michigan was a family trip. We stopped at, I think, it felt like literally every lighthouse in Michigan, but I know that that's an exaggeration. But if you've seen the lamp or lantern of a lighthouse, It's surprisingly not quite as large as you would expect given the amount of light that the lighthouse actually puts out. You see, the lantern is surrounded by mirrors, or one curved mirror, which takes the light of the lantern and reflects and directs it. The mirror itself doesn't produce any light on its own. If the lantern goes out, that's it, there's no more light. But the mirror itself, if it gets clouded or dirty, the light is still there, but the mirror will not reflect the light so well until it has been cleaned, and then the light can shine again. Are we ourselves always going to shine the light of Christ so clearly? No. The light will become darkened and obscured by our sin. That is unavoidable living in a crooked and twisted generation. We must return to God daily to receive absolution, to have the light washed clean by the waters of holy baptism. And yet, God does continue to use us as his light in the world to reflect his light for all the world to see. So, how are we to live in this world? How do we show ourselves to be children of God? How can we be blameless and innocent in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation? How can we shine as lights in the world? The answer to all of these questions is, we can't. Not on our own. Not if we try to do it all on our own. When we attempt to stand on our own against a crooked and twisted generation, we will fall. We will fail. We will not be blameless and innocent. The light will become dimmed by sin and pride. But then, that's not the point. We aren't doing this on our own, standing on our own, shining on our own. When we look back just one verse from where our reading picks up to 2 verse 13, we see the truth. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is the one who shines through us. God is the one who works through us. God is the one who, through Jesus Christ, makes us his children, who shines his light on us so that we reflect his glory to those around us. When this happens, he leads us to live in humility, to seek not our own good, but that of others, to live for God and not for ourselves, to treasure the things of God, gathering with God's people as God's children, praying for God's guidance and strength, reading God's word. Because when we are in the light, then only can we truly reflect the light. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, reflecting his light in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Amen.